Let me not interrupt your conversation there, Ms. Sheridan. You're talking to John Moody, yeah, but you could do this at another time. The way I see it here is you should actually be on the radio. This is like old home week around here. All right. Anyway, friends, you are listening to the Flannelly Show live. We are now in our 48th year of broadcast. And if you have never heard of us, well, then let me introduce our publicist. John Mooney, you're very welcome. How are you doing?
Hi, Adrian. It's good to be on this side of the speaker, so to
speak. Absolutely. Before we even get into Irish-American Baseball Hall of Fame and your induction into that very prestigious organization, I just want to reflect back. I don't think you need to reflect back, but anyway, it's in there. That's just to show how long ago it was. But when you joined us, you had just come out of, graduated from Fordham University with this marketing and public relations degree, and we all have very fond memories of a time in Flannelly Promotions when, you know, maybe now I have aged, but then I didn't think I was, you know, even getting there. And it looked like Irish Radio and Flannelly Promotions, you know, was a training ground for, you know, for a lot of people who were coming out of college, including the Flannellys and, of course, Patricia Corrigan and yourself and many of them. And in coming into that environment, you definitely had created a tremendous atmosphere. Paul Flannelly, I should very involved at the time too, but that was that was a great time with on Patterson too, son of Frank Patterson, Eileen O'Grady.
It was a very interesting time, especially because right around the time you're doing the daily shows and really expanding and, you know, creating a real sense here of what was happening back in Ireland. And, you know, at the time that you're mentioning, I mean, that was when the Celtic Tiger was really starting to roar. We actually launched Riverdance, if you remember. And, you know, there was just such buzz. And then, of course, the peace agreement started happening as well. And it was the time was right for what you were doing, and people were looking to the Flannelly Show to find out more.
Of course, incorporated into that, we had, you know, the great influence of John Deary. We shared offices with John Deary, or maybe that was a little bit after that, but I ran there. And then John Deary hosted his own talk show, his own radio program on one of the evenings, and Loretta Brennan Glucksman she had her program. But it was a busy time. Busy in the sense that a lot was happening, and the Celtic Tiger booming on the other side, offset, you know, by continuing troubles in Northern Ireland, and a huge amount, as you can probably recall, a huge amount of skepticism with respect to the Good Friday Agreement, leading up to the Good Friday Agreement. And hopefully still are, a vehicle just to transmit, and to let people know what is actually going on. And it covered the whole gamut from, a lot of the freedom fighters, those who were on both sides. I mean, back at that time, to bringing on the military elements on both sides, the renegades from the Unionists, from the UVF, from Sinn Féin, that was a bit bold, but they did have a place to come to. And you were very involved. All of you guys were very much involved with that, you know.
And there was that was a time where, I mean, the story wasn't being told, and it wasn't just, you know, the Martin McGuinnesses of the world. I mean, you had in John Hume, you had on David Trimble, and I remember his deputy came in, you know, a few weeks after that. I mean, you were giving voice to all the different opinions that were going on, and ultimately that's what George Mitchell did, another guest on your show.
Yes.
Was he listened to them all, and they got to explain, here's how things look from my view, mm-hmm. and to educate people, because it wasn't just a one-sided story. There wasn't just violence, there were legitimate issues on both sides that really needed to be addressed before anything could happen.
Any time that you, particularly if we go back to the daily shows, and on many occasions it would be, you know, and this was a drive time program that was being aired both here and in Ireland even before the advent of the internet. But any time it came to about 2:30 in the afternoon, and our program would begin a couple of hours later, you were much sought after, because, not that I got rattled that easily, but somebody, you know, one of the others would say, who's on the program this evening? And I always said, my stock answer was, well, I don't know, where's Mooney? I don't know how you managed it, but you did great stuff. And I distinctly remember, because you've told the story yourself, at my expense, as to your coming and saying, do you know who I have lined up for your program? Conan O'Brien. And I said, who's Conan O'Brien? He says he's a fellow. He's going to start a talk show. I said, on radio or television, and the rest is history. But you landed some big fish, you know, including, I have to give you credit for, with all of the activities, again, going back to with respect to Northern Ireland, on occasions at what was, I don't know, was anything we ever did in that office, could that have been even remotely connected with, you know, a staff meeting? I think it was more like everybody talking together, nobody listening. But anyway, one of those, when you're saying we should really get Ian Paisley on the program, and after we all said that that wouldn't happen in a million years, then one day he said, we can get Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness on the program. And I said, well, okay. Some peace process. This is going to wind up to be, and it happened. Anyway, we're reminiscing there at what was very, very, not only a very significant time, but the success of Irish Radio Network, USA, IrishRadio.com, in no small way is due to the efforts of all who came through. And as we know, Áine's full-time job was to decide whether she should take care of, keep an eye on me or the rest of you, and That's why if you got away with anything, she was so worried about keeping a rein on me that you could pretty much do whatever you wanted. Thank you, and thanks to all of our those who have come through our way. Many have gone on to major jobs in the area of media and like yourself, public relations and then broadcasts and whatever. But I do want to ask you about the Irish American Baseball Hall of Fame and your own interest in that. And when did that start?
Well, you know, I'd always been, you know, an amateur historian when it came to baseball in its early days. And the funny thing and the ironic thing about it was a friend of mine named Marty Appel, who many baseball fans will know. He's a Yankees historian. He says, John, did you know that, you know, in 1945, they inducted 10 Hall of Famers in Cooperstown? And 9 of them were Irish or first generation. And I said, really? They inducted a lot of the early stars of the game. And I wrote this article at the time for the Irish Examiner, and it also made Irish American Magazine, I believe, you know, about the great, rich history of the Irish in baseball. You know, fast forward a couple of years, and I meet Sean Clancy, the owner of Foley's, and he's become a big baseball fan. Of course, growing up in Ireland, he'd never seen the game until he came here, but he fell in love with the game. And then we were talking about the roots of the game and how it grew. And, you know, as populous as the Hispanics are in this day and age, you know, 30% of the early players were Irish or descendants of. So I said, you know, we should do something to celebrate the history of this game. I said, why don't we create an Irish American Baseball Hall of Fame? So Sean jumped right on board with that, and then we started figuring out who we could get. You know, we were really trying to have a little bit of fun. So we put in Mark McGwire. It was in the middle of the controversy about the steroids, and, you know, our headline was Mark McGwire makes Hall of Fame. We had the daughter of the legendary Connie Mack, who still holds the record for most wins as a manager. She was 95 years old and came up from Philadelphia in a car just to meet us and to accept the plaque on her father's behalf. And even, you know, sadly we lost him just this week, but Pete Flynn, who there's been much written about in the past week or so as he passed away, but he was the groundskeeper at Shea Stadium from day one until the day that it closed. In fact, he drove the Beatles onto the field when they arrived at Shea Stadium, and he drove Paul McCartney onto the field for the closing concert with Billy Joel. And so we really wanted to celebrate people like that who you didn't understand or know about their contributions. And over the years, we've had like some of the biggest names, Steve Garvey, Tim McCarver, Brian Cashman, the general manager of the Yankees. This year we had Mets great Al Leiter. And it's become, you know, it's become something that people want to be in. And then, you know, on occasion, we haven't been able to have the inductees come in, but we were invited to present a plaque to Vin Scully out in Los Angeles. And Nolan Ryan invited us to Texas and brought us onto the field to hand them this plaque. So it started as a little bit of fun, a little bit of heritage, and, you know, a publicity, you know, venue. And what happened was that the players, we found out how much it meant to them. And that's why it's really taken off. Is we have players bringing in their family history. A great example is Jeff Nelson. And I was like, the guy's got the surname of a famous British admiral. How is he Irish? And he came in with his daughter, and they had traced their family tree, that it meant that much to them. And that's really what the fun of it is. You know, it's another venue and another vehicle for people to celebrate their Irishness.
You know, as we speak about baseball, I know that we had the passing of two great friends this year, Beatrice O'Neill and John O'Neill, and of course Beatrice was she was public relations and general greeter for the VIPs at Yankee Stadium. And just last week, there was a tribute at Yankee Stadium on the giant screens with one screen a remembrance for Beatrice O'Neill and the other for John O'Neill. And we were just thinking at the time that the Irish and the Irish influence, I thought about it there when you said, you know, like here you have, somebody coming over from Ireland into a pub, never had any exposure or knew much about America's most famous game. And, but I suppose, you know, the Irish and Irish Americans and the generations, that was their game. It's not like they had access to, to many other areas of sports. And I'm talking pretty much at a parochial level.
Oh, well, you know, it's funny because people get some of their view of the early games from the movie Field of Dreams. In fact, Kevin Costner is one of the original nine inductees for playing a role in Field of Dreams and, of course, Bull Durham. But they're... there's a scene where they're out in Minnesota and, you know, Archie Graham is hitchhiking and, you know, he goes from town to town playing baseball. And there's this pastoral kind of rural aspect of it. But baseball in its origins is really a rough and tumble city game where the first one was played in Hoboken. People came over, gentlemen didn't want, their children playing baseball because it's too rough. Oh, you know, and the Irish are involved in that. And, you know, they're rough and they're drinking and they're this and they're that. But what, you know, in fact, one of the great, great inductees we have is a guy called King Kelly. Now in Boston, you wouldn't find in the turn of the century, I don't think you'd find a pub in Boston that didn't have a picture of Kelly stealing a base, and he became a pop culture phenomenon. He really was the first baseball superstar. He signed autographs at a time where people only really collected the signatures of the president. And he also went on and had a vaudeville career. And one of my jobs as the curator of the Irish American Baseball Hall of Fame, which is in Foley, it's on 18 West 33rd, you can see all these plaques, but one of my jobs is to research and find out about these great players and what they meant to the game. And, you know, people learn, you know, they learn some things. And one of the funniest things was everyone said, you know, you should induct Whitey Ford. You know, Whitey Ford, oh, he's great. And then we reached out to Whitey Ford, and we found out he's Swedish. He said, I'm thrilled with the honor, but I'm really not Irish. So, we get a little bit of that, too, as we learn our history. I know you're a big music fan, Adrian. The song Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. You know, we're talking baseball. That's written by a guy who's Irish. There's, you know, other things that we try to find. Of course, the Mets lost one of their PR people, Shannon Ford, who was beloved throughout the game. And she was our first female inductee. So you can see all these, the plaques are on the wall at Foley's. We also have autographed balls, bats, gear that some of the players have donated to us. And if anyone loves baseball and they love, they love Irish clubs, it's the greatest combination in the world.
Absolutely. And I'm, for curiosity, for those who have not visited Foley's, There, how many signed baseballs are on display in Poland?
Oh, 3,500. There are 3,500 baseballs, and they include not just baseball players, but celebrities, other influentials. You know, a couple of the Cardinal Archbishops of New York. There's a ball signed by Bono, Charlie Sheen. You know, people come and see. You don't have to love baseball to love Foley's. So there's, you know, elements. Katy Perry. You know, if anyone wants to be in on the wall, they can, you know, they can sign the ball, which makes it a lot of fun. There are stadium seats from stadiums that are no longer around. There are game used jerseys. There's all, and it's free. I mean, you can come in and walk, and it's one of the best displays of baseball that you could see outside of Cooperstown.
All right, I'm just thinking between. You know, you're sneaking in lovely there, commercial for Foley's, and then on you getting Jimmy Neary on the phone. I don't know. I think we need, could you get somebody, maybe latch on to somebody who pays a few bob into this thing? I mean, this is freebies here. You know what about that stuff, Mr.
I do.
No, seriously, first of all, we want to congratulate you. We know you have been very dedicated indeed to founding the Irish American Baseball Hall of Fame. And we are very proud of those who have worked with us, including yourself, obviously, that have gone on to great success in the areas of broadcast and our friend here, John Mooney, has indeed been featured, a reporter for CBS. He has, he has done and represents huge companies like Allstate, American Express, Walmart, Puerto Rico Tourism, Motorola, Kellogg, you name it. And when he's raking it in from all of these companies, then, going about, when was that? 2008, we were all minding our own business, gearing up for St. Patrick's Day and having the normal spat, choose your sides on St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Day parade in New York, St. Patrick's Day issued. But things were kind of normally contentious. And then John Mooney puts the word, into the ear of Foley's pub owners and said, you know what we should do? We should ban Danny Boy, the song Danny Boy. That's like taking one of the leaves out of the three-leaf shamrock. I mean, many people I know, were quietly applauding, but didn't want to come out and say, who is this fella? And what do you mean, Ben, Danny Boy? It's got not just local and national coverage, but international coverage throughout the world, that now the home of Irish America's Baseball Hall of Fame, Foley's Pub, were banning the song St. Patrick's Day. That was some stroke. I don't even think even in your wildest imagination you thought that you get so much flack from that.
Well, it drew international attention, which was really, it came about just, kind of by accident. I asked Sean Clancy, what are you doing to promote St. Patrick's Day? We'll have a little bit of fun. He said, well, I don't really do anything to promote St. Patrick's Day because we're going to be packed. I said, well, that makes sense. And he said, on Tuesday we're having a karaoke night. And you get up and you sing a song, and then we'll give you a free Guinness. And I went, oh, my goodness. And he said, well, what's wrong with that? And I said, you're going to hand people three pints of Guinness, and then they're going to get up to the microphone and warble Danny Boy because they don't know any other song. I said, oh, I can't think of anything more torturous. I said, what you should really do is give them a pint if they sing anything else but Danny Boy. And then that was the aha moment. I go, that's it. We'll ban the singing of Danny Boy. And literally within an hour, we sent out the press release. It made it onto the AP. It went worldwide. We got phone calls from the BBC, from RTE, Stephen Colbert. It was crazy. We couldn't keep up with it all.
Wow. that is funny. Anyway, listen, I again, congratulations, Sonia, and I, very proud of your getting a very, very well-deserved award, and I know to you and to your family, this is very good too.
And, yes, absolutely.
And you know, I if I wanted to open up another can of worms, I would have to play at least a half a dozen songs from the Wolftones, who, for whatever reason, I don't know. I think going back to those daily programs, and an hour before airtime, if we didn't have the guest, you would find a Wolftone somewhere in Manhattan and drag him in. But you know something. We need that for a little bit later on, because we are celebrating America's birthday, and later on in the program, we'll definitely have I know a song or two from the Wolftones. Thank you again for all you have done, not just for us, but for all you do for the numerous charities as well. I think you learned something about pro bono from the crowd we have around, and you've done a tremendous amount for the less fortunate and organizations that are very much in need of. Good luck on that one. Okay, and
thank you very much, Shadrin, for having me. And you know, we should get together soon, and we should have a little celebration on our own. I'll coordinate with Onion. We'll get together off here and laugh about those good times as well.
Okay, all the rest. And now, this is particularly for Foley's and for the Irish American Baseball Hall of Fame, a song that I have really, really had to dig to find out in the first place, because, you know, when that was banned that time, I kind of lost it. But oh, here, I found it again. Okay. John Mooney, thank you. Okay. John Mooney, so long. God bless.
Thank you.
Just
bye
now.
The valley's hushed, the flowers are all dying, the meadow here is white with the winter snow. In the place where Danny's lying, I say a silent prayer. Somehow I know he hears me. I tread above it, so mountains he sings, he's down. hides the price of calling. From glen to glen, around the mountainside, the summer's gone, and all the flowers are dying. Tis you, must go, and I must buy. But come ye back when sun shines on the meadow, or when the valley parts and white with snow.
The valleys
and the flowers.